Okay, welcome to, this isn't our regularly scheduled programming, and this time around it's just me, Sam. So, I have a new book out. I've mentioned it here before, but it's my first book, and it launched last week. It's called Smithology, Thoughts, Travels, and Semi-Plausible Car Writings 2003 to 2023. Now, I'm pretty excited about this, and I'd be lying if I said it didn't mean a lot to me. The book is a self-published anthology of some of my favorite stories that I've written for car magazines, a culmination of my first 20 years in that business doing what is really a dream job. For the last two decades, I've been lucky enough to travel and drive and test road cars, race cars, and go on adventures, all to try and unpack why driving and cars matter to us. And along the way, I've met and learned from some of the absolute best and most interesting people you could ever want to meet. Now, you may be asking yourself, you would say, self, now, is this a bargain? Well, yes, it is. The book is $29.95 in print or $12.99 as a Kindle ebook. And for that, you get more than 480 pages. Now, maybe that page count sounds like a lot, but really, this book is a collection. Most of the columns and feature stories in it can be read pretty quickly, and they're all separate from each other. In other words, you can dip in and out as you like, and the whole thing doesn't have to be read straight through if you don't want. Somebody last week even described it to me as the perfect bathroom book, which, I mean, I'm going to take as a compliment. I mean, who doesn't want to be spoken of in the same breath as a toilet, right? So, long story short, for the next few weeks, to give you a taste, once a week on Monday morning, we're going to release a free short bonus episode here in the pod stream. It's going to be me reading and sharing one of the shorter stories from the book. Today is the first one of those. The story I'm about to share was written for my column in Road and Track when I was on staff there and originally published in August of 2015. I wrote it after visiting Indianapolis, going to the Speedway, during qualifying for the Indy 500. The story is called Wall Drug. I hope you like it. Wall Drug, in rare air in the heartland, getting high on the fumes. So each one of these pieces has a couple of sentences in front of it, just to kind of explain where my head was when I wrote it. This one says, I grew up 90 minutes south of Indianapolis, but never found the time to see cars at speed there. A TV broadcast always just seemed a good substitute. Spoiler, it wasn't. When a car does 230 miles an hour 2 feet from your face, you feel it. The sudden thwack of evacuated air, a whole body muscle spasm, and above all, engine noise, whip cracking into your core, just there and gone in a heartbeat. Run, it all says. Because there is a surprisingly violent thing nearby, and since the dawn of the human race, surprising objects yowling directly into your colon have meant that you're about to get eaten. Or that you're on the wall at Indianapolis. I went to the Speedway in May for Indy 500 qualifying. The 500 is a touchstone, but embarrassingly, I had never ached to see it in person, nor had I ever had much love for ovals. I got on a plane, thanks to my friend Marshall Pruitt, Road and Track's chief racing correspondent. When I texted him last winter and said that I hadn't seen him in a while and we should hang out, he suggested 500 time trials. There aren't many fans, he said, but that's the brilliance. We'll have the place to ourselves as fools crack 230 miles an hour each lap. Standing 2 feet from cars tracking out in turn one will change your perception of speed and safety forever. Something shifted in my oblongata. Yeah, give a I typed back, which is what you write when your fingers are so excited they can't assemble complex words like yes. Like much of motorsport these days, IndyCar is in an odd spot. The drivers are fantastic, but the cars, one chassis, a Dallara, and two engine manufacturers, Honda and Chevy, those cars are about as compelling as old socks. Outside of the 500, no one's watching, even in historically popular stops. In June of 2015, an estimated 10,000 fans dribbled into California's Auto Club Speedway, a two-mile oval whose stands can hold 68,000 people. Still, the Sports Center, Indianapolis, remains unassailable. Four corners, banked at just 9 degrees and 12 minutes, and a 2.5-mile layout unchanged since 1909. Charming, view-blocking grandstand poles dot the place, like at Wrigley Field. Deaths and life-changing moments have echoed off those seats. If you aren't humbled on that ground, you should probably read more history. Every big track has photo holes, these non-public gaps in the catch fencing for credentialed photographers. The last hole in the Speedway's Turn 1 happens to be inches from the end of the corner, right on the wall, close enough to reach out and touch the cars. Marshall, a former race engineer turned photojournalist, well, he took me there. "Never take your eyes off the track," he said. "If things go wrong, you won't have much time to run. Less if you rely on your hearing for warning." "Well, sure," I said, "but isn't there catch fencing?" "The fencing grabs whole cars," he told me, "but the holes in it are about 9 inches square. 200 miles an hour pulverizes things, and pulverized car parts fit through 9 square inches. I looked at the nearest stands, about 20 feet back. Then the first cars came through and pulled my spleen out through my ears. Indy in person is not Indy on TV. From the front straight, Turn 1 looks like a wall, but drivers enter around 235 miles an hour in practice this year. They enter without lifting. Tire scrub shaves about 5 miles an hour by mid-corner. It seems impossible, but it happens lap after lap after lap, and there is still palpable risk. When a driver gets a trimmed-out, low-downforce car visibly sideways in a crosswind and somehow saves it, qualifying laps attributable only to cojones, and hot days where, if you can't catch a sliding car, you're just in the fence. TV removes the violence. After 5 minutes on the wall, you hate the cameras. If a driver is fighting understeer, the nose hopscotching at the apex, they can get eerily close. The air is more violent with every mile per hour and inch, and 3 laps in, you can ID the fast cars solely by sound and pressure. You keep your eyes up, even when you don't have to, mesmerized, trying, all the while, to remember the last time you met a road course and thought, "This is the ballsiest thing I've ever seen." At the end of my time on the wall, I turned to Marshall, dazed. "If you could somehow pipe this experience into people's homes," I told him, "you'd make billions." He nodded as if it were obvious. Then another car tore by and ripped out my lungs through my nose. By chance, the day after I got home from Indiana, an old club racing friend called to catch up. As an afterthought, I mentioned visiting the Speedway. "Oval racing is boring," he told me, just dismissive. "Just a bunch of laughs." I almost hung up.